Hello and welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know in the world of innovation, business, design, tech, and culture. I'm Fazlin Esau, and today we are joined by three brand new additions to the Label Sessions expert roster, as well as Josh Nixon from the Label Sessions team. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello to Danny Denhan. Danny helps scale up Smash through growth plateaus and silos with sharp commercial thinking, hands-on delivery, and a zero-fluff approach to transformation. Hello, Danny.
Hey, I wish I actually had used that previously, but I love the intro. Thank you.
Also, a big welcome to you, Felicitas Mohart. Felicitas is the luxury professor who blends academic depth with brand strategist savvy to challenge the fast and efficient norms of marketing and champion luxury that goes slow. Welcome, Felicitas.
I love the description. Thank you.
Also, a big welcome to Ingrid Hudal. Ingrid is a leadership designer who moves seamlessly from the grassroots to the global stage, blending strategic design with a warm personal touch that drives real change. Welcome, Ingrid.
Lovely to be here. Thank you.
Amazing. Well, we're going to jump right into our first topic, which is your CEO a clanker or a grokker? Josh loves both of these words, so he's very into this topic. So ChatGPT-5 has just launched, but many leaders are being warned to not use AI too much, partly from a professional perspective, but also because a lot of people are really reacting against people in general who rely too much on AI tools to write, plan, and communicate. And that's where we're starting to get these sort of, you know, the grokking and the clanking and all of those sort of things. Should you limit your AI use as a leader? And if your CEO is grokking too hard, how can you raise the subject with them? Ingrid, I'm going to throw this one at you.
I'm laughing because I am the CEO and I do like using those tools. So I guess you could figure out right away where I stand between that dichotomy. I think it's important to learn how to integrate AI tools for sure. You know, it also brings a lot of anxiety, but it's kind of being back at that beginner stage. Like, it feels fun to be an infant at things, especially when you're an adult, if you allow it. And if you allow that kind of growth mindset to tinker and to play, it's incredible how much the use of AI tools have helped me in my journey, especially as an author with my book, to promote the book and to set up a lot of fireside chats. But I think it's important is not to overdo it because, you know, when you're trying to go too fast, and I think Felicitas, one of your introductions was around going slow. I couldn't agree more. We have to go slow and also take the time to be very thoughtful and intentional. People can see when you've rushed through and just sent something through ChatGPT and you're like, oh yeah, yeah, you really have to find the right balance.
That is an interesting thing. Felicitas, luxury and AI seem to be polar opposites if we think about it. Is that what you're finding, that the luxury world is less inclined to use AI?
I'm pretty allergic to AI on several levels. First of all, I'm a university professor. Of course, this thing is threatening the foundations of my own profession. And I feel like this whole thing makes people pretty lazy. And I always think, like, how can people claim to become a champion in bodybuilding if they're not going and training their muscles? And that's a little bit for me AI. How can people think that they're going to use all their gain time for the most incredible creative tasks if they're not training their brain? And doing the hard work, reading and writing and thinking is muscle training. And so I'm a strong believer in going through the painful journey. Of course, I don't forbid it to my students, but I can definitely see the difference between people who think for themselves and people who go the direct way through AI. And maybe one thing, I mean, we don't have a track record of knowing when it's enough. So striking this balance is something that I have not seen as something where humanity has a big achievement. So I'm more on the, on the allergic side. And then on the other side, like from the luxury point of view, Yes, this is a question that I'm really thinking about a lot. And there is research that shows that when people do know that luxury uses AI, for example, in design functions, that they have a lower emotional connection and they're less willing to pay the high price. I think that makes sense. However, what is really scary is that if AI is being used to produce designs, oftentimes these designs are better perceived in terms of creativity than human-made designs, which means that if brands are not being forced to show or to dismantle that they used AI, that this is going to undermine the creative authority of luxury brands. And that is something which I that comes in with legal and ethical considerations, which I'm not aware are being tackled yet.
Amazing. And what an interesting perception from the public. Danny, as the startup guy, how do you feel about this kind of CEOs going rogue with AI?
I think we've kind of landed in a place where we're dividing leaders into four camps. So camp one is all in. So they're like, you can only do AI. You can only prove that you've done a great job once you've proven that you've used it. There's a number of different memos and manifestos that have come out, which sort of back that up. I think that's on a per leader basis. And some of that is PR. So it is spin. But I do believe, and I have had interactions where some CEOs believe it has to be that way. So for me, it's a case of if you're all in, the decision that you have to make as an employee or employer is, are you going to, I call it the three T's. It's, have you given it the right time? Is it trustful as in the answer? And is it, like, do you trust it? And is it truthful? So if you can understand the three T's and if it is going to give you some leverage or competitive edge, then albeit if you're in that camp one. Camp two is it's going to help. I'm not 100% sure where and how, but it's an important tool. Therefore, we should learn it. And I think that's probably the safest camp to be in at the moment. Camp three is going to be tech and it's going to be baked into tech. It's going to give me a load of tools, so I need to understand it enough to move forward with it. And I think that's something that most CEOs away from that are doing big press junkets and doing a lot of big interviews and podcasts are actually at. And the fourth one is, I don't like it. I don't trust it. I'm not going to change. And I've actually had quite a few interactions with those through workshops, and it's actually filtered through the team. So I don't, whether it's right or wrong, I think that's an individual choice. But as some of our previous podcasters have said, I think it's down to the individual and down to you to understand whether it is going to give you a leg up or a leverage. It's not going to turn you into a Wall-E character where you just are constantly consuming content. And I think that's really unhelpful and unhealthy over time. And I actually think most leaders are going to have to have say an 8 out of 10 knowledge base to understand what it is and what it isn't and what it's going to do and what it isn't going to do. And luckily I've got a podcast that's coming out all around for AI for leadership. But what we've decided to tell people in that for too long didn't read version of it is get to understand it, get to play with it and then make your decisions and don't be led around a panel around you that says everyone's doing it. So you have to jump on it. I think it's really important that you understand it yourself. You go through a lot of the motions. I've got a 5-day challenge that I tell people to go through and then keep going back. And if you don't trust it, then I completely understand.
Awesome. I think the good, as long as you're not a grokker, I feel is my vibe. Like to AI. I just find that that's like the lowest rung of AI.
I was just going to say the thing that really makes me laugh about the whole situation is I'm kind of AI agnostic. I think there's good and there's bad. And I think I'm more of a sideline viewer than a natural participant. But the moment that there's a backlash or something, there has to be a name thrown at it. And the idea that it's termed as an AI slur is fascinating to me because it's obviously rooted in the fact that, you know, history has a lot of horrible slurs thrown around. And I just find it interesting that, yeah, like the backlash, there's always got to be a name attached. And the article says, you know, coming into the future as AI becomes more rooted into what we are as a culture and what we are as a personality. And the line that really got me from it was, I don't want to be the one trying to explain to the Terminator that it was a different time.
I say but like how in case.
Yeah. That's the thing. And then that goes to the other thing of like, you know, saying please and thank you is wasteful of energy too. Like it costs a lot of money to respond to that. So it's like, what is the good or the bad thing to say? And just generally people's perceptions of, you know, what is essentially a tool is more deeper rooted in how we interact with technology in general, you know?
There is something that I think we should call out though, is with a lot of these tools and a lot of usage around AI is when people are using it, and you listen to the AI researchers that are building the products at the moment, they're doing the research, they're influencing what the product development teams are building, is they're telling you to query and prompt a number of different times the same prompt to get the best answer. So actually when Sam Altman and a lot of the leaders go out, what they're actually telling you to do is different to what the researchers are telling you. So yes, it has environmental impacts, but you have to understand, again, it's a personal choice. You have to understand that, but make sure that you know what the best output is. And again, if you trust it and if it's truthful, because if you re-prompt over and over, you get different answers. So just be mindful of it. And there's always, on reflection, we always have to have a name for something now. And especially in the market that we're operating in, as a couple of us are marketeers on the call, it's, you know, it's probably a proud moment for the marketeers to get that name put out there.
When it becomes a verb, you know you've made it.